It was a busy long weekend. Why are crucified on Good Friday, but resurrected on Easter Monday? Coming up in today's podcast, reviews, Challenge Cup, Madam Boyd, Tackle Bags, Podcast Fan of the Week, predictions, a touch of nostalgic commentary, and much more. We better get cracking. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
We're back. I hope you enjoyed a great Easter break, including all that rugby league. My name's Rob London, and with me today, and no doubt both a few pounds heavier, yes, it's the Judith Chalmers of the pod, who in the coming weeks will be heading to the Chelsea Flower Show before holidaying amongst the vineyards of France. It's Sam Sankey. Morning, Sam.
Yes, bonjour, Robert, and bonsoir, Dennis. Day that Darrell Clarke has extended his contract and the RFL yesterday decided to take action finally on that awful play the ball. It's all good today.
All good today. Good to hear. Have you packed your bags yet, Sam?
Oh, no. Not yet. Anyway, it's not long since you have your holiday, is it, over here? Swapping Manly Beach for a view of Latchford Locks.
Nice.
Well, a fine Irish woman you are. Where did your ancestors fall? At the Salford Town Hall?
My mother's father was Irish, and she had me by an Irishman. Village idiot, from what I can make out.
Well, also, perhaps we'll hear about all the recent wine tasting adventures too from Dennis, only it was in England in the back of a transit van. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell. Good morning, Dennis.
Good evening. You're a bit too premature on the old wine tasting there. You always seem to come too soon, don't you? I think the thing is that that's not until, when is it? Next month. Do you remember the transit van that we went down to London in? Put the mattress in the back.
Well, I do remember that. And I remember being told off because, of course, being south of the river, my English was a little bit better. And we made a huge banner down the side of the van. And I wrote on it, here we go, with a capital H. And was then told it was here we go. And we had to put the H's in the door so they wouldn't be seen. that was also painted on a Egyptian cotton sheet.
Very good. I remember it being pushed aside and your ass hanging out the window as well most of the journey.
He's never changed.
So we've had a good week, boys. Nice Easter.
Oh yeah, cracking. Okay, see that.
All except 80 minutes. Everything else was brilliant.
A bit like that. I did a bit of a pork crackling in the on the grill. Jesus, there's an instant heart attack, isn't there? I gave it to the dog in the end. Ridiculous.
How'd you get on with your Toblerone? Is it disappeared?
Well, it's a bit of a funny weekend because all my lot went away. My partner and my little boy, they headed down south to Batemans Bay, and my daughter went up to Surfers Paradise. So I had a weekend of painting and masturbating.
Interesting did combination.
Building the muscles up.
Well, I did a couple of coats and then I moved on to the painting.
Oh, dear. let's start, shall we?
Okay, right, Easter games. Okay, an action-packed Easter of rugby league. Wyatt with the two games, and we'll start with the game on Good Friday with an atrocious performance by Warrington against Salford. The team was Ratchford, Goodwin, Atkins, Levette, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, and Westwood at 13. The interchange bench was Ben Murd at Massilla, Jason Clark, Philbin, and Davis. The final score, Warrington 12, Salford 36. Gee, what an embarrassing show by Warrington. I mean, half time, we're 28-6 down. It didn't get any better. We lost the second half too. Sam, how on earth, mate, do you sum this up? What went wrong?
Salford did exactly what Saints did to us in that first 25 minutes. They beat us up the middle. They absolutely destroyed us in that first 25 minutes. And there was no coming back from it. To sum up the game, Warrington had 14 errors compared to Salford's 5. And Warrington's top metre maker was Josh Charnley with 94 metres compared to 8 Salford players making over 100 metres. We were beat hands down, absolutely smashed.
Do we need to worry possibly that our second row forwards, depending on who's out on the park, are a little bit small? I mean, I think we had Jason Clark out there and also the young lad from the long lad we bought, Davis, we bought from London. When those two were out on the park together, we're a little bit light, aren't we, in that second row?
Yeah, it depends on how the game's gone, doesn't it? If we've already got our pack on top, our starting pack on top and dominating, then Clark and Davis, if he's playing, bring a bit of speed, enthusiasm, and can go on the back of a dominant ruck. But if we're already going backwards, they're not going to stem that tide, maybe.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, Sam, is what was the crowd like? Because, you know, we got, went behind. And did the crowd immediately turn, or was it sort of like...
No, there was one or two. I mean, I was sitting with the Prawn Sandwich Brigade, of course, in the North Stand. But there was one or two dissenting voices at half time, and then during the second half, in particular, Ratchford, Atkins, Patton, or as I'm now calling Passenger, and Harvey Levett.
Sam's turned.
Yeah, I've turned. Yeah. But overall, and what was a shame, it was a beautiful day. It was a record crowd. The club really is doing things right off the pitch, and even the halftime entertainment was the closest competition with Kukas versus the Flyer.
Well, Dennis, your in-laws talked last week about the pack being too nice. Wasn't it more of the same?
It certainly sounded like it. And then when you watch the highlights, it was pretty dire, wasn't it? I mean, they're not exactly the rat pack in that game. They were more like the cat pack and something like that. I mean, don't say twat pack, because that's not appropriate. So you can take that out. But the thing about it is that I started a campaign, did I not, to bring resilience back. Short-lived campaign, as it turned out. But I wondered whether it was because the pace was a bit slow that they went on to the next game. You know, something was completely wrong there, wasn't it? You watched it on the TV. They were basically running over us. I almost thought, as I say, what we talked about last week about running over Sam. I reckon, I think you could have run over them easy enough, Sam.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it? Okay, well, Steve Price certainly wasn't impressed.
You know, all the ruck speed was, you know, across the board was all too fast. And, to concede 38 points is disappointing. Oh, you get line speed through, you know, tackle management and your tackle control, and then you get your markers set, and you generate line speed, and you get the energy off that. We didn't generate any of that today. You know, the boys been training pretty good, and I was confident going into the game, as every week we are, and we just went at the races today.
Well, after the appalling result on Friday, it was over to Humberside on Easter Monday to play Hull Kingston Rovers. This one went, you could say, slightly better. A few changes in the team. Team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, King, Charnley, Austin, Hill, Clark, Tarsi, Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Hughes and Davis on the Davis. Interchange bench was Jason Clark, Akawala, Levette, and I've missed one off. I presume it was Philbin. Neither of you picked up on that, boys. I just read out the team, and not one of you picked up that I missed out a player from the team. Very interesting. We'll go on. We'll carry on.
We weren't listening to you.
I missed out Patton, and not one of you picked up on it. Hey? And that was not a fraudulent slip, trust me. Final score, Hull KR 6, Warrington 54. Sam, you weren't there, so not that easy to quantify a rating possibly on Warrington's performance. Are we all in agreement with Steve Price's quote? He said, "We are looking for a response, and we certainly got one." Or is it just a case of Hull KR being a little bit shit?
Yeah, I listened to the game, and it's not the same listening to it on the radio, is it? But I had a report back from someone who went, saying that he thought Sitter and Tarsi had decent games, but they were obviously playing lesser opposition. And the match highlight was Clark chasing back on Craig Hall's interception. And then once we got ahead, once we scored first in that second half, they were shot, and we grew in confidence, and we we ran all over them. To really highlight that, compared to what I said about the Salford game, against Hull KR, we had Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, Austin, Hill, Clark, Tarsi, Toby King and Sitalecki all running over 100 metres. Yes, we obviously dominated them.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say Hull KR are a bit shit. I did notice on the run back when Clark did catch him over that period of distance, Toby King, the old flat feet were out. Did you see how quickly he ran back? My God, it's like a tortoise.
He did get Will Dagger later in the game, didn't he?
Rob, are you all right, Rob? Yeah, you're getting a lot of your words wrong tonight.
I'm not well today. I've got a bit of flu. The young ones come down with it as well. I noticed it last night. The nights are drawing in now, and I was getting out of the pool, and it was only 26 degrees, and I felt a little bit of a chill, and I've woken up with a bit of a head cold.
So, good.
Right, okay.
Deserve all you get.
Yeah. Well, it's a public holiday here today. It's Anzac Day here today, Remembrance Day, so we get the day off, which is good. Okay, well, one man who was very happy about it was Joe Philbin.
We knew that Hull KR were going to come, and they love chucking the ball about, you know, and I think they thought they were probably going to catch us. You know, we've lost a few in a row, but we came with a really good attitude and played with intent and, you know, ran away with it in the end. But it was a really good performance from us, yeah. Not just the result, but I feel like getting back to performing how we want to perform, because, you know, the last 2 weeks has been pretty unacceptable, really. And I feel like we focused a lot on defence today. We said when we're playing well, you know, we're going well in defence. That's our backbone really in this team. And you know, I thought we really did get back to that. You know, our tackle management was a lot better this week.
Okay. Rather than giving man of the matches for both games, I think we'll just have an Easter man player, match player.
That's Easter best performer.
I'll go Blake Austin. From what I've seen, I did send a WhatsApp message on the weekend to say, is it now compulsory that every Warrington try is either scored by Blake Austin or has a Blake Austin assist? Sam, your Easter man of the match?
I'm going to go with Darryl Clark. He was our best performer against Salford, and he was in the mix with everything that went on from what I could see against Hull KR.
Here's one for you then. You take Darryl Clark off the pitch, Warrington score a whole heap of tries still because we've got Blake Austin. You take Blake Austin out of that team, how many tries are Warrington scoring?
Less. Fewer than if he was on the pitch.
Boom! I may be ill, but I'm still on it.
Yeah. It's to be proven yet, though. That might yet happen. So
You didn't see the Salford performance.
Dennis, your Easter man of the match?
Well, I've got Philbin. He's the dime bar Easter egg of the weekend, I think. He was certainly sort of full of...
Dime bar? They're brittle.
Eh?
Dime bars are brittle.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, like cracking inside, innit? Go on, Sam.
I just wanted to come in before we finish off about Easter. Though
with
an early shout for podcast fan of the week.
Oh, right. Go on then.
Before the Salford game, I was talking completely
off script here, Dennis. We're gonna have to have a meeting about this.
I haven't gotten to Clark yet. I was gonna have Clark. He was gonna be a Hotel Chocolate, Ostrich Edge. I can't even say it.
Come on, Dennis.
Is it contagious?
Finish your bit, son. Come on. Where are you going with this?
No, I want to hear about this podcast fan of the
week. Come on, let's hear it, Sam.
No.
Yeah, we got one of our regular listeners. I was speaking to him before the Salford game, and he was talking about how many times we have won twice over the Easter period. And to give him his due, he went away and he sent me a message on the Saturday to say over the last 10 years, so 2009 to 2018, only three times have we won both games. Five times we won one match, and twice had we lost both matches. So overall, if this year as well, we've only won 12 out of 22 at Easter. So perhaps expecting us to win both was not on, really.
Clark, Hotel Chocolate, Ostrich Egg.
Bring it back, Dennis. Gee, he had an interesting Easter, didn't he? Gee.
Yeah.
Okay, to sum up the Easter games then, it's difficult to know whether Warrington has lost its mojo.
Coming soon to cinemas near you, Angela Austin Powers. Starring Marvin Kukash as Dr. Evil. Angela as Angela Austin Powers. Oh, enough forgetting. Mini-Me, Tyrone Roberts.
Ah, Tyrone and Mini-Me. Are you looking forward to meeting Angela?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
My name is Dr. Evil Kukash. Is there anything I can do for you, Angela Austin Powers?
You can't do enough for me.
Angela, rub my mojo. Make it bigger.
It's growing pretty hard, but it's not growing too fast, which I think is really important.
You want to go on top? Oh, yes, please. Go on top.
We all want to be underneath.
Oh, this is it. Oh, I'm going to get there. Tyrone, get out of the way. What should I aim, Angela?
I think it's important to aim towards...
Oh, no, it's too late. I'm sorry, Tyrone. Oh, there's a little bit more. Oh, I haven't felt like that since I left my death behind at Salford. Angela Powers, you are the best.
Feel that real sense of satisfaction.
Coming soon, at a cinema near you, but mainly Lancashire and Yorkshire.
I'm sure we'll have a good drink after it.
The Challenge Cup draw certainly came up with a few interesting matches. We'll leave the Wire versus Wigan game until last, but there were some other interesting ties. We'll run through them, see who we think's going to win. First of all, Salford Hull KR. I mean, we expect Salford to get this one, don't we?
Yeah, if they're on it. They're a funny side, Salford, aren't they? I've seen them play against us and against Catalan look brilliant. Yeah. And I've seen them at other times look crap, but yeah, they'll beat Hull KR.
They'll get it. Dewsbury versus Halifax. Dennis, you did your university.
Dewsbury. Yeah,
you did your university years in Yorkshire, didn't you? So you know these two places. Come on.
Yeah, which Dewsbury. They're in 10th position at the moment. Halifax are in 8th position.
Unbelievable.
Halifax, home of the gibbet, the first sort of like medieval sort of punishment, bit like the guillotine. Do you want me to go on or should we move on? Let's move on. We haven't got much time. So moving on, we've got then Bradford versus Leeds. Should be like an old classic game.
Should be a good one, shouldn't it? I was once at Austell Stadium. It was that cold that halfway through the game, the tannoy froze and fell from the stand onto the pitch.
You know what? I think that you've just exaggerated that in your 26 degrees out in a pool thinking, oh, I remember what happened there. It was just a bit cold. That's all it was.
It couldn't reach the pitch. It's got that speedway track to get past first.
The only thing
I've exaggerated... telling us now, are you going to tell us the angle of the in-goal corners
and
how
they
were bent up at 90 degrees?
I'm just going to say it possibly wasn't a tannoy because that's a brand. It was a public announcement system.
Oh, very good.
Hull versus Castleford. Come on, who's going for this one?
Hull are getting it together, and yet they've had two huge defeats against us and against Saints, but Hull at home.
Well, here's one for you. Catalans versus Doncaster. Do you think anyone from Doncaster's been past Rotherham?
They're in sixth place at the moment in Division
have
One.
Have you been doing some research, Dennis?
No, I'm on it.
He's got the BBC Sports app open in front of him.
Okay, well, here's a tricky one. This possibly is one we want to see, and that's Huddersfield versus St. Helens.
Well done. Good boy.
This could be it, couldn't it? This could be Saints out early on.
Mm. No.
No.
Not unless he rests half the team.
Hey, wait till Madam Boyd comes up. I had an interesting conversation this week about that.
Did you?
Okay. Mm. Wakefield, Widnes. Wakefield should get over the top of Widnes, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Shouldn't be any problem there. Okay, and finally, Wire versus Wigan. We play them twice in a short space of time. Firstly, in the Challenge Cup game, and then a couple of weeks later, yet again, we play them in Super League. Sam, now that the penny has dropped over at Wigan and Sean Edwards won't be joining them next year as coach, do you think this is time now that Wigan regroup with no distractions and possibly we see their best form?
Yes, I do think we'll see better overall form from them. They still don't give me anything to fear from a Warrington point of view, with one exception, and that's their left edge with Williams, Gildart and Greenwood. When they get it together, they do look dangerous. And I'd have Gildart at our club in a heartbeat. I think he's very good. We'd go very well with him at centre if we could steal him.
It does seem that everyone is picking up on now that if you stop George Williams, you stop Wigan. He seems to be the threat, doesn't he? Stop him bouncing across field. I will say, in Hull KR's first try on the weekend when they bounced across field, what was Patton doing?
We just watched him go, didn't we?
We just watched. It's like, Patton, move up and belt him. Just let him go from his right shoulder across to his left. There was the overlap and they're in the corner. I watched it with a few Aussie mates at work and they were like, gee boy, what's, well, I didn't say gee boy because they're not cowboys, G-boy. But.
Wait.
Oh, mate. Mate, what's going on there?
No, no.
How did he get up and hit
him? I like the first one. Were you in a drag club or something at that point?
Well, that's why he's not well now. He's not recovered.
Dennis, growing up,
you could tell his missus was away.
Oh dear.
Look, Dennis, you had the most unfortunate incident growing up of drinking cider, and I had an even more embarrassing evening after downing a bottle of brandy. Neither of us touched a drop of either substance after those horrendous nights in question, but we did dare ourselves to revisit those beverages if Warrington won at Wembley in 2009. So after 35 years of not winning the cup, we both celebrated on cider and brandy. If we win at Wembley this year, Dennis, are you willing, you and I, to get over more phobias, or has the cup now lost its shine?
Well, I don't think it's lost its shine. I think, you know, at the end of the day, there's only two bits of silverware to go through. I mean... Wigan haven't got anything else to play for, let's be honest, when you think about it. So it's quite important. So I think that, yes, it is important. And I did actually write something down and then realised this isn't going to work. I thought I'd dye my hair black. I've always thought about it. And shave me bollocks. And then I realised that you do that normally anyway. So what's the point?
Love, pass me a brandy.
Very good.
Well, if there was one bloke that never lost his shine and could turn a dark, cold Saturday afternoon into a feeling of warmth and loveliness, it was this man.
We're going to tell you the Warrington team first. Finnegan fullback, Thackeray, Duane, Bevan, that's John Bevan, Welshman, Hesper, the goal kicker, Kellig, William, and forwards Courtney, Waller, Case, Martin, Eccles, Hunter, Warrell, and Potter. Oh, good break! Well taken by Tommy Martin. He's going on his own. They attempt to cut him off. He might be strong enough to get through. And he is strong enough to get through. It's a try. And a good try indeed by Tommy Martin. Good dummy. And got through. Waller. Oh, and he must be under the sticks. And the try to John Bevan in typical style. Nice break. Lovely pass. To Thackeray, coming onto the touchline, and he gets out of it, beats Fairburn, and it gets a very good individual try. A little short pass, got out of it, and it's a pass in the man in the corner, and the man in the corner is Steve Hesford, and that was a straightforward passing on the line, and a try. It's been a match with a lot of interest in it. Hesford tried 26-10. He finished it off and he also started the game by 2-0. So there's been a lot of movement around because in the end, Warrington's power became so evident. And at the end of this match, Warrington will go home. And with Wigan 10, Warrington 26, Hope you've enjoyed it. From us all here, back to Frankie in the studio.
Now, over 2 months ago, Madame Boyd predicted possibly the most laughable of all her rumours. It seemed utterly ridiculous at the time, as she made note of Sean Edwards eating humble pie and turning his back on Wigan, and it would be, yes, Tony Smith heading to the DW. Okay, brace yourself. Yes, in League Express, the rumours have started to grow. Tony Smith, would you believe it, could be joining Wigan. How on earth does she do it? It's over to Madame Boyd.
Hello, this is Hugo on the control tower. Do you want number 77?
Good evening, Madame Boyd speaking.
Ah, Madame Boyd, it's Dennis Waywell. Nice to speak to you again.
Yes, Dennis, I knew it would be you.
Did you sense that in your balls, then?
No, Dennis, it was in your WhatsApp message for this evening.
Yes, yes, modesty again. Do you have a prediction for us this week, Madame Boyd?
James, come on, dear. Come on, out of your box. That's right, dear.
Oh, how's James getting on?
He's a slow learner, Dennis. Aren't you, boy? Yes. Give me the balls, dear. Premature, James. Premature. My voice is dark and deep, but my balls are crystal clear.
That almost sounds like a catchphrase. What can you see?
Oh, I can see Tony going up north. I think I have cross wires, Dennis.
Whoa. Hang on. This is... Tony's not going anywhere near Warrington, is he?
Get down, James. Get down. Tony's been away for a while. Sorry, Dennis. No, you've nothing to fear there. Let me see. St. Helena. Mount St. Helens is about to blow.
Right, okay. Well, throw that one back at the boys. Anything else, Madame Boyd, before you go?
That's it, Dennis. I have my work cut out here. Come on, James. Come on. Let's see if you can peel some potatoes.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Well, Dennis, what do you make of that one, mate?
Well, I think it's a prediction that nobody else would be predicting, isn't it? As always, you know, St. Helens are going to blow up at some point. Are they going to, you know, fall off the rails or whatever, whether it's going to be in the Challenge Cup or something, or midway season? So she's predicting something.
I'm going to say that Madame Boyd has been at the brandy for this week's prediction.
Well, I tell you what, Sam.
I think she was wanting to be a bit further up north to Wigan rather than Saints, but we'll see.
Does seem she's having problems with James. But looking at the track record of Madame Boyd, she's not got anything wrong yet. It's unbelievable. No. I don't know where she's pulling all this from, but it's very good. Very good to see. Okay, let's move on. Podcast fan of the week. We should start with the poll. We ran a poll after the Easter games, a little bit again, tongue-in-cheek. It was, has Blake Austin been a better signing than Tyrone Roberts? We got 136 votes during the evening. 93%, I'll give you the options. There was yes, maybe, or bring back Tyrone. 93% went for yes. 1% went for maybe. And 6% went for bring back Tyrone.
Hmm. Were those 6% walking and the phone was jiggling in the hand and they pressed the wrong button?
Come on. We have to hear from all our viewers, mate. All our viewers. We had a few that came back. Danny Murphy, he said, I think you should be doing a poll. I don't think you should be doing this poll. You're completely mad. The options should be yes, definitely, and crazy. Some prick wrote, third option should have been unsure, need 15 games. That was Dennis.
Oh, dear. Thought I'd recognise that.
But this one, and I think this is a step too far, boys, to be honest. So brace yourselves. Stephen Savage wrote, are you serious? Tyrone could offer his to give the entire town of Warrington a free job and Austin would still be the better signing, for fuck's sake.
Is that Rob London on the bottom of that one?
He's not sitting on the fence.
Stuart Wilcock, he's picked up that the Guardian have jumped onto your stutter pass, Dennis. They wrote a paragraph saying that Patton delayed his pass to Goodwin as a stutter. So,
excellent.
Yes, it's all going round there. And also, Kieran McCloy, she wrote, I just cannot believe you're asking this question. So I'll keep up those good polls.
Yeah, keep them going. I've had, well, we've been on, by the way, interestingly enough, because we've just released the Brian Bevin Facebook page. Sorry about that, got my phone quite close. But he's come straight back on and he said he would probably say, what the hell is Facebook? Which is probably a nice
book. Do you?
One time Warrington was a thriving steel town, wire industry. At the end of the working week, they didn't have much money. What entertainment was there?
It is the talking point within the town. I think that has been one of the beauties of this game.
The atmosphere at Warrington was second to none.
Massive crowds who absolutely adore rugby league for what it is. It was a political statement that started this as a sport. It's a working class game full of working class heroes, and it's you know, it ticks a few boxes, that.
I think Warrington Rugby League Club, it's in most people's hearts, really.
Rugby league very often is the town.
Okay, all right. We'll move on to podcast fan of the week. It's coming from a chap called Terry. Terry writes, in 2010, my mates and I went to London to watch Warrington play Leeds in the Challenge Cup final. Whilst in London, we hooked up with an old mate I'd been to school with, who had moved to the capital many years ago. My friend was working for a rather well-known advertising agency. And after the game, he invited a few of us, not wearing polyester rugby tops and that were half sober, to an exclusive members club in Soho. Put you on the back foot, Dennis. The club seemed very nice. Nuts on the tables, lots of Winchester armchairs, with more than a few celebrities dotted about the club. You get the picture, he's written. So. On venturing to the toilet, I overheard an horrendous splash from the next cubicle and smelt the worst thing I have ever smelt. It was that bad. I was tempted to check if he was okay.
Is it like you this morning, this? Are you that ill?
I decided to wait until he left, so I didn't lock eyes. I heard the flush go, the cubicle door open, and the sink run, followed by the hand dryer blowing. I thought the coast was clear, but to my surprise, the man that owned the god-awful smell was still there. He looked me in the eye and said, I cannot believe what has just happened in here. The gentleman turned out to be a very famous English celebrity chef. Come on, all think of your favourite chef.
Got to be Gordon.
I have not included his name to protect his bad bowels. As he was leaving the toilets, he turned to me and said, KFC, never again. To this day, I cannot picture Warrington winning at Wembley in 2010 without his face flashing across my mind. All the best. Keep up the good work, Terry.
Jesus.
Who's your money on? Gordon Ramsay, Gary Rhodes, Jamie Oliver, Wolfgang Puck, or Hester's Blumenthal? Hester's Blumenthal.
Okay, Noel Edmonds, a multicoloured swap shop, owned a toy dinosaur called Posh Paws. Philip Schofield in his broom cupboard had a gopher named Gordon, And now it turns out Dennis has a mascot who's a middle-aged man on the verge of type 2 diabetes living in Lancaster called Kevin Lunn. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Get down, Kevin. Get down. Okay, anyway, last time on Tackle Bags, we posed the controversial question of players having sex before a match, which is commonly thought that may inhibit performance, but we have found a different bit of research that says it's actually quite a good thing to do. So we posed that as a question, got a response. This is the most popular response we've had so far. Yes. 81%. 81% want our players to get indulging in a bit of nookie the night before a match. Representing the 81%, I've got Ms. Clark. Everyone's a winner. Meat and two veg for dinner. That's what she's come back with. Classic. Lovely girl. No, 18%. This is off Full Monty Breakfast. He said, early to bed, early to rise. Now, I'm thinking that might have been a yes. But,
it could have been.
Yeah. So, anyway, and the other 4%, this is a two-headed sex beast. He said, I'd rather have a wank. So, anyway, I think...
Mr. London at the weekend?
It could well have been. Yeah, I never thought of that. Anyway, right, moving on. This week is piss poor penalty. Interest here.
Three
P's. PPP. This is inspired by one of our super fans. This is Dave Munro. He pointed out to us last week that during the Salford defeat, he put basically one of these Velcro inflatable dart boards, which was outside the hull game, saying, like, you know, why is Dennis not picked up on this for his tackle bags? And he's,
you know what I'd say? Know what I'd say about Velcro?
Well,
it's a complete rip-off.
Oh.
Carry on.
Thanks for that. Didn't add anything to my tackle bags, that. And anyway, he suggested that, you know, with this inflatable dartboard, big, large thing, we should maybe throw some of the players at it who played badly at the Salford match, dress them in a bit of Velcro and maybe throw them at the dartboard. Now, on health and safety grounds, I thought that's not a particularly good idea, and I wouldn't like to think what would happen if Wolfie got near it and he'd be bald. So, you know, I was thinking of a theme of, like, other themes, because I had this in my tackle bags anyway. I had Zorbing Bowls, Rodeo Rugby Ball, as, like, you know, sort of things to maybe punish players. So this is where the idea of piss poor penalty come from. So I was thinking of ways that you could punish players for doing poor performance. Now, if you remember the Premiership or players, they used to give the poor performer the three-wheeled car out only fools and horses to drive around for a week as, like, a punishment sort of thing. So I was thinking, like, well, what would we do with our players? So my suggestion is to maybe punish the players as a psychological strategy that the Warrington Wolves could adopt. So, like, Curry, for instance, he could be made to eat a hot curry, one that gives you the shits, you know, just to sort of, like, as a punishment. Kevin Brown, we could have him eating chips and carbs for a week so he couldn't have anything with protein in it, you know, being that he's got his little kitchen thing. Philbin, that's easy. He could be made to sleep in a wheelie bin for the night. That's a good one. Liner, he'd have to train with rashes of bacon in his underwear. And I was thinking...
Probably does.
And maybe he has to cook them up later and serve them to the rest of the team. I don't know. Atkins, he could be made to talk like Roland Rat for the week. Otherwise, everyone ignores everything he says otherwise. Atkins. Chris Hill, he would have to grow his hair and have a comb over for a month. I've got Westwood. He could turn up in training in a dress.
Oh, yes.
Vivian, yes. Westwood. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, well, you didn't need to explain it, Dennis. Our audience know these things.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Can we do that again? Westwood, turn up to training in a dress.
Why would that be?
Studying. What do you mean by that? Turn up in a dress, the big puff.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll leave that one then. Blake Austin, I've put he'd have to walk around in steel toe cap boots for a week.
He does.
I didn't
what,
even
without
give
any
it,
bling on.
So if you think that there's, you know, this has got a value of psychologically sort of motivating our players, or if you've got any other ideas of how to motivate the other players, and I'm going to keep talking this fast so he doesn't mention Patton.
I wasn't going to mention Patton. I was just wondering if you could explain to me what Ralph Rimmer would do.
Yes, well, that might be coming up in the next couple
Dennis,
of weeks.
What would Ralph Rimmer do?
Oh dear! I think I've already got something in my head.
Want me to mention
give
Bezic
give
Patton? Give him a going away present.
Oh dear!
Oh dear!
He's gone.
No, I'm not gone.
Move it on.
Yeah, we're not talking about debt Patton. I did think that we could make him eat a dog shit chocolate pudding, but I thought I'd beat it. Anyway, so if you like that idea, I'll propose it to the club. Then you can get us on at whatbevin@gmail.com. No, that's wrong. whatbevin@gmail.com. Is it contagious, this thing you've got? Can you catch it off your mind?
I don't know. Don't forget the Facebook page, Dennis. Now you've got that up and running eventually.
Yeah.
Get that going. Yeah.
Ryan Bevin, good. Facebook page.
All there. Right. Okay. Well, look, Callum's a bit of a change this week. Rather than Callum doing his danger man, he went so well on his prediction last week. None of us did very well at all, but Callum did. So it's over to Callum with his two predictions.
One out of two over Easter, better than nothing. Warrington outplayed by the Red Devils, but beating the Robins, Warrington remains second after the tough ask of two games in 3 days. As the weather starts to get warmer, nights begin to get lighter, Warrington begin to drop the ball a bit less, we're all happy. We'll be seeing April come to an end and the Yellow Ribbon month of May beginning. Warrington face Huddersfield and Castleford. Huddersfield have played a lot better than in recent seasons, sitting eighth, and with their star players hitting form, Simon Wolford will want his side to make the game tough for Warrington. On the flip side though, Warrington will want to get back-to-back wins after recording their first after a couple of losses. A team that could be without Josh Charnley though, I still believe our boys can get the 2 points in this one. My prediction, Warrington 38, Huddersfield 16. Castleford away hasn't been too great of a place to go lately, apart from the time the stadium was like a mud bath. Warrington are just 4 points ahead of the Tigers, so those isn't too much to split the two. Cass, with a lot of injuries, will be deflated, so I think Warrington will exploit this and scrape the win, 23-16. That's it from me. Good predictions, I think. Just got to try and dig out my denim shorts, ready for summer rugby.
Okay, it's all a tad upside down and a bit back to front at the podcast with so many games in such a convoluted space of time. Therefore, we have two more to predict, boys. It's Huddersfield at home on Sunday, and then just a 5-day turnaround until we go to Castleford away. I'll start with you, Sam. How do you see these two going?
Huddersfield, easy. Huddersfield have only scored 236 points. They're struggling. We've scored 380. We're going to have an easy win, 36-12. But a quick turnaround, as you say. Castleford, far more difficult to predict. They're a bit up and down at the minute. They might have some players back, but they do seem reliant up front on Watts and Senny Lefeo. But I'm still going to say Warrington Wolves to win 28-20.
Mm. It does seem now there's a little bit of a gap opened up between Warrington and Cass. I don't think we're going to catch St Helens, but it doesn't seem that we have to win every game away from home for us still possibly just to finish second in the comp. Bit of pressure.
I'd agree with you. I'd agree with you there. Saints and Warrington look better than the rest, but of course we went to Saints and got our arses spanked. I think we might turn that around later in the season, but we do look the best two teams easily.
Yeah. Well, I think Charnley may be out, but I'm pleased to see that Mamo's coming back in. I thought we had a little bit more of an attacking flair when Mamo was in the side, and it was a shame when he got injured. So I didn't realise Huddersfield have scored so little points. So I'll also go for Warrington against Huddersfield. I think we'll win that by 30 points to 10. I can't see us winning at Castleford. I don't really think it matters. I'd rather just come away from Castleford with all the boys intact. So I'll go Warrington. Look, I'll go Warrington 10, and I'll go the other way. I'll say Castleford 30. Dennis, your two?
Well, I've got Huddersfield. Well, they've got 10 points. They're in the 8th position at the moment, so they're not that far off everybody else. But like you say, I don't think they can score. So Wire to win it, 26-10. Going away to Cass, yeah, I think that's going to be a difficult one. They have got a couple of injuries at this stage, whether they get any players back, but I've got it close. I've got us winning on Golden Point, 23-22.
All right, we're done. Possibly over to next week. We'll just find out exactly what Warrington has become. Is it a blip or is it more than that? We'll be back after the Cass game with a slightly revamped show. Yes, it's Challenge Cup week. Until then, find us on Twitter at WhatBevan or email to whatbevan@gmail.com. Keep it real, Sam.
Yes, all the best and be careful out there.
Keep breathing, Dennis.
We're seeing you.
I'm Rob London and we'll catch up with you soon. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Well, you were a lot more relaxed, Rob. You be ill every week.
I think it's that. I think it's all that masturbating. Right, I'm off to do another coat. But what do you care?